Welcome to the Water Podcast, episode 7, recorded September 19, 2008. Water is tool for testing web applications. You can find more about water in episode 1. My name is Željko Filipin. With me today is Brett Petticord, co-founder and CTO of Watercraft LLC, and more importantly for this podcast, he's a water lead developer. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you, Željko.
So today we're going to talk about water, five water, and integrating the two. Do you have anything to say before we start?
Yeah, well, let me just maybe give you an overview of what we've done recently with Firewater and the Firefox support for water, and what we have in process right now. One of the things we've done is we've essentially merged the Firewater project in with water. We put the infrastructure together, the repositories, the support, the mailing lists. So those have all have been combined. We're in the process of also doing a separate kind of migration of the water website, and that should be happening within the next couple of weeks. So that'll make it a little clearer that this is all being run as one big project. I think the website still has to be updated on that way. So and then the next step of that process, and that's what we're doing now, is just to integrating the code bases. There's a couple aspects to that. One is to increase more common code between them so we have less duplication. And related to that is that we want to have less incompatibilities between them. A lot of people are using Firewater to test to run their water scripts on Firefox, and they're running into compatibility issues. There are commands that we have in water that are not in Firewater, or that their commands are not don't work exactly the same. So we're getting that list together, we're identifying, and we're reducing those issues together. And so that's the thing that's happening right now. Right now, in fact, we're targeting for a mid-October release of both water and Firewater. And that the plan is that release of water will include Firewater, and so that when you run your and it will include a new browser class. So right now, when you create the water object, you do a water IE.new, and that creates a instance of the browser that you can drive through your tests. We'll have a new command that will be water browser.new that will do exactly the same thing. The difference is that the behavior of that class will be configurable by various runtime options. And one of those options will be whether or not you're going to see a Firefox browser or an IE browser. So the plan is to have that functionality in, and then people can start using that in their tests, and then we will have a number of the incompatibilities fixed in that release, and we will still have more that will need to be fixed afterwards. But going forward from that point, people won't have to update their tests anymore. They'll just need to get the new release, and then they'll get they'll get the updates, and the compatibility issues will just be as we get them out there, we'll just be cranking out new releases, and it won't cause compatibility issues for the. We'll have the forwards compatibility going from that forward.
That sounds just great. I don't know if you've listened to all podcasts I've recorded, but I think everybody said they would like to see water and Firewater merging.
Yeah, it's a big project. There's a lot of things that are different between them, and what I'm working on right now today is. And what I've been working on for last week and probably another week or so is to merge the two test suites together. So for those of you who haven't looked at the code, the Firewater code base is based on the water code base, and in particular the Firewater tests are based on the water tests. But some of them were changed because Firewater was different, and some of them were removed. And at the same time, the water test suite has evolved, and we've added new tests to that, and we've also often reorganized some of the tests. So the first big merger of the code, we've already merged the exceptions. So we now are using a common exception library for both water and Firewater, and that made a bunch of the tests run better. But the next big merger is in the unit tests themselves. And a lot of people, you know, they ask me questions like, how is this going to work? And they want to know, like, what architecture and how, but the water has always been a test-driven project from the beginning, and that's how we're going to, and that's how we're driving the merger of these code bases, is by getting the test suites together. And as we do that, we'll see exactly what tests are running with water that aren't running with fire water, and then we'll know what we need to do to make them compatible.
I just want to say this before I forget. It would be nice if this mid-October release that you're saying about water and fine water happened on my birthday, so I could think that it's my present.
Like, what is your birthday?
I won't tell you. So I'll... You'll just have to guess. I'm joking. Never mind.
We're going to have to get moving then.
Great news is that WaterCom is going to happen, right?
Yeah, we've been working on that for quite a while. So just to clarify, we've been hosting the project in a couple different places, and it's sometimes been confusing for people to find aspects of the project. And we're going to be consolidating and putting things together. So water.com right now is just a redirected domain, but we're going to have that actually be the place where everything is going to be. So the website is going to be there, the wiki is going to be there, and the Jira system, which we use for tracking bugs, is going to be there. So all of those things, as right now the website is on RubyForge, and Jira and Confluence are on OpenQA. And especially I've found that people don't know about Jira. We don't have enough pointers to it, and they don't realize it's there, and they don't realize where our bug lists are. I actually pay attention to that. I look at that every day, so that's an important part of managing the project. We're going to have all that together. Also, what we'll be doing there, right now we have a relatively static website at RubyForge, and we're going to make the main webpage just be the wiki, and that's going to allow the community to kind of take over the public face of the project. And Alistair Scott has actually been taking the lead on that, and has been getting some new plugins to Confluence. And just yesterday we got the licensing from Atlassian, which is providing us with free licenses for Confluence and Jira. Because we're an open source project. So we're really appreciative that I came through, and Alistair and Charlie Baker are going to be taking the lead in migrating the community over from OpenQA to the new water.com site. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Code will still be in Subversion, not moving to Git?
Yeah, so that's another thing that's been going on lately. I've had a number of people kind of tell me that they'd like to see things on Git. I've taken a look at it, and I essentially decided that this was just not the right time for it. Git is a distributed source control system. I think eventually we will be on Git, but I just saw a number of things that just weren't together yet in their Windows platform. Git is the source control system that was written by Linus Torvalds to manage Linux. And as you can imagine, it works really well on Linux, and it doesn't work so well on Windows. There's some ports to it, there's some issues, and it's been lagging. So I think we're going to have to wait a little bit longer until they get the Windows up to date. Most of the people who have been pushing for it have been people who aren't primarily developing on Windows. A lot of those are people who are really interested in FireWater and who want to use that for testing on non-Windows platforms. So we certainly want to encourage the participation from those people, but we can't do that at the risk of alienating the people who are working on Windows, and so that's why we're going to have to wait a little bit longer before we can migrate to Git.
Subversion will be hosted at WaterCom also?
I don't know what we're doing. We may just leave that on OpenQA for a little while. There's no one really kicking us off of OpenQA. OpenQA has primarily been a site supporting Selenium, and so they're going through a process of kind of rebranding that site and pushing it. They haven't really kicked us off at all. They've been, but they've kind of let us know about their plans, and we've been thinking about doing this ourselves and moving to our own site. So it just seemed like a good time to do that. If someone wants to move it, that's fine. If someone wants to, my guess is we could stay there for another 3 months, and they're not going to kick us off. So that might be what we do as well.
Support will still be at Google Groups?
Yes, that won't be changing at all. So right now the main user group is the Water General group on Google Groups, and we encourage all water users to go on there. There's a fairly there's traffic on there every day. I know some people find it a little bit overwhelming, but that pretty much is where things are happening these days, and that's going to continue. We're not changing any of that. We've been happy with that. We've essentially moved the Firewater group into that as well. So now we're having all the Firewater and water discussions in that mailing list.
Tests are still a test unit. You're not moving to RSpec?
Well, right now what I'm doing is I'm merging the water tests and the Firewater tests. And the water tests are in test unit, and the Firewater tests are in test unit. So it would make no sense for me to migrate to RSpec until I've merged these two test suites together.
But later, you plan to?
I don't have a need to move the water unit tests to RSpec. I do plan to be developing a new framework for water users to use, and I do plan to use RSpec for that. I going through and updating the unit test to use RSpec, some people said that it would be nice to have. I agree. I'm not sure that that's something that I'm going to be focused on.
I'm thinking for a long time now I should use in my own tests Story Framework from RSpec.
Yeah, they have something called the Story Runner or the Story Test Runner that's part of RSpec. I haven't used that a whole lot. I've experimented with it. I haven't actually used it. I'm still more interested in the plain spec runner in RSpec.
I'll have to take a look. It looks really interesting, but I never got to implement it in a real project.
I've talked to people who have used it, and we've gotten good reports from it. And I know that Aslak Helisoy is working on a new version of that called Cucumber. So there certainly is a lot of great development being done. I know that people have used it well. A lot of it, I think, depends on the type of environment you're in, the type of communication, and who's involved with the tests. The story test runner is really designed to allow a certain type of person with a certain kind of involvement to take a certain role in the software testing. And what I'm more focused on these days is getting a good framework that traditional QA people can use to be effective with water.
Just one more question before we start with the real questions. When you merge the two test suites from Water and Firewater and you improve it and do whatever you like with it, would other water implementations could use that test suite and say, okay, we are 50% compatible with core water and something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we need to be doing. And in fact, we probably will have this in October. We'll probably not only have it working with both the IE and Firefox, but there's another implementation of the Water API called Celerity that uses HTML unit as its driver. And the advantage of that is it's much faster than a browser-based driver. It does not use a browser, it emulates one. And there's pros and cons of that. What we'd like to do is make it so that people can choose to use that, at runtime rather than at coding time, so that you can write your tests in the Water API and then execute them against any of these different implementations. The same goes true for Safari Water, which people have been using on Safari and to test that. So what this goal is really, in many ways, the core of water will be the water test suite, because the water test suite will define the water API. And then we'll have a number of different implementations of that API, some of which are part of the water project, some of which will be part of allied projects that we'll cooperate with, that water users can use to execute their tests on various platforms, browsers, and configurations.
Also, before I forget, if anybody from water-related projects is listening, like Celerity, Safari Water, and others, would like to record the show with me, let me know. And I already recorded the show with Jeroen from Wotan. So, to the real questions. What's your schedule with Firewater?
Well, like I said, I've got plans right now for a mid-October release of, that'll be Firewater 1.3, and we'll call that Water 1.6, which will significantly improve the ability to test between those two between IE and Firefox. So after that, it gets less clear what the plan is. Probably spend a couple weeks on some water bugs that have been out there for a while, in particular some performance problems and some issues with IE7. I know there's a number of water users out there who have not upgraded to 1.5.6 or back on 1.5.4 or 1.5.1 because we did something that screwed up performance in one of the later releases of water. I've got some pretty good information on that, so I just haven't had a chance to focus on that because I've been looking at the FireWater stuff. So I'd like to do that to get everyone up to the latest version in 1.6 or whatever that is. I guess that'll be 1.6.1. And then my plan is to shift gears and really focus on a new framework for water.
And when will the pop-up support come?
I know everyone's been asking for pop-up support, and the reality right now is it's not on my plan. If someone, I work with Watercraft, and if someone wants to hire us to do pop-up support, I'd be happy to rearrange the roadmap and to give that priority. But, I realize it's an issue for people. I'm not going to defend what we have right now, the pop-up support. I don't use it. I have not used the pop-up support since it's been put in there. What we have right now is some stuff that was just kind of contributed. It kind of people got it working. There's a lot of questions about it. The API is clunky. The reliability isn't great. It's confusing. I apologize for that. I don't use it myself, and that's why I've never gone in to fix it. Well, I've never needed it. On all my projects, I've always found ways to avoid the pop-ups, and there's some things you can do. And what I've found is it's always been on the actual projects I've had where I've really had to deliver. It was always easier to avoid pop-ups than it was to get the pop-up stuff working. So that's kind of my advice on that for people. And I think in some cases people are not finding ways around using pop-ups when they should. I realize in some cases it depends a lot on your app too, and I just haven't had apps that have made a lot large use of it.
Personally, I don't even use pop-ups. I never had to test an application that have pop-ups. It happened several times, and I always said, oh, these pop-ups are no good, just get rid of them, and I've been lucky, I guess.
Yeah, so you're in the same situation I've been in.
But we get so much questions at Water General mailing list about pop-up.
Well, just today I was threatening to rip all the pop-up code out of Water, and I may do that. I may take that, make it a separate library, put it out there somewhere, and I put it on GitHub and say, here's the code. And I mean, I'm not working on it. No one's working on it right now, so it's essentially abandoned code, but because it's inside the water repository, it's not clear to people that it's abandoned. And, if anyone listening to this wants to take over that project, or we can make it a separate gem, which would probably be the easiest way. I could set it up for you on our current repository. You could run it somewhere else, and we could include it. I would love to do that, because there's no one owning that code. The unit tests for it don't work very well. It needs help. People have talked about working on it various times, but it's just kind of hanging out there.
So if you're listening and know how to deal with pop-ups, get in touch. So many people will be thankful to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you beginning the integration of Water and FireWater?
Well, I'm beginning with the unit test. This is a question a lot of people have come in, and what they say, a lot of people, they want to know what the architecture is. And the architecture is testing. That's what architecture is. That's the architecture of the original version of Water, and that's the architecture of the integration. It's all about testing. It's how do you know that what you have works? And Water was based on the idea of an easy-to-use interface and an idea on how to test to verify that our things worked. Those were the two things that Paul Rogers and I sat down and worked out in a couple days when we were both in Calgary. And then we went ahead and implemented it. And in fact, almost all the code for Water has been rewritten several times since then. The architecture has changed. The structure has changed. The code has changed. What hasn't changed is that API, and what hasn't changed is that test suite. And that test suite has allowed us to make all these other changes, has allowed us to add features. If you look at the code size of Water, you'll see the code has not increased with time. And in fact, what I regularly do is I go in, I find ways to make the code more condensed and more simple and that allows me to add more features to it. And we're going to be doing the same thing with the FireWater thing. Right now we've bumped up the code because we've essentially have a copy of water that's been forked and changed, and we've added it back in. So we're going to go back in, we'll dry out that code and remove the duplication and make it simpler again. And that's part of this integration process. And it's all done through refactoring. And there's 100 different moves you can make when you refactor code and you have a good test suite on it. And we'll be making all those moves. We'll be extracting methods and combining methods and extracting classes and creating strategy classes and building adapters and doing all kinds of things.
You said that you defined the API at the beginning, and I think that the API is one of the reasons that people really love water. The API is really simple and really usable. You've made a great choice.
Thank you.
How will the test be integrated?
Fundamentally, what I'm needing to do is adding tags. So right now, I've added class-level tags. I'm in the process of adding method-level tags. So we'll start tagging tests with all types of attributes, including this is a test that works on IE, this is a test that works with Firefox, this is a test that doesn't work with Firefox but should, this is a test that only applies to IE. We'll set up a whole set of tags that we'll be using for the different tests, and then we can start merging them and marking them. Right now, you can run the core water test against Firefox. That functionality is in place in Trunk, and several people have tried it and run it. Last time I ran it, I think I got 62 failures out of 217 tests. So when I first got the thing running, I was getting 111 failures. So I was able to do a few things and get that cut down very quickly. Some of them were either bad tests I had them reuse the exceptions. So originally they had two different sets of exceptions, and now they use the same exception classes, and that fixed a whole bunch of them. So we're going through that as one list, but we need to start kind of triaging them, figuring out why. I was just looking at one of them cases, and it was because the 2S functionality is slightly different between the two. I don't think anyone cares about that, so I need to put that in a list of things that are different that no one really cares about, so that we can start focusing on what people do care about. And so it's just a matter of kind of tagging through all these tests. And a lot of it, too, is there's a lot of kind of unnecessary verbosity in the water unit tests. So we'll be cleaning that up, making them easier to understand, easier to use in the same process.
We are pointing people to the unit tests for documentation. And sometimes I take a look at the unit test and I'm not really sure how I could use that code. So simplification would help.
Well, yeah, I think they've done their tour of duty as examples, and occasionally they're helpful in cases, but I think we need a better set of examples to show people to get started with water. The water unit tests are unit tests of water. They don't test an application, and they because of that, they're a little bit bizarre, and they do their job well, but they're not. People who are new to water don't need to understand how we test water. The fact that we do test it is all they really need to know.
You've been talking about tagging test. Is that part of test unit framework, or did you do it yourself?
It's. I'm adding it directly to the water unit tests. Some people have asked about, can they use this functionality elsewhere? And right now, I'm not packaging it for general use. I'm just, of course, anyone can go in there, see the code, and do what they want with it. But at this point, I'm adding this as a feature to the unit tests.
Will you be integrating with other water API drivers, such as Safari Water or Celerity?
I think we've talked about that. Like I said, we definitely are doing that. I know I've been in touch with the developers of both those projects, and they're very involved in what we're doing. They're watching it very closely. In fact, I think it's going to go further than that. I know that there are non-public projects to port water to both Opera and WebKit. I've talked to people at those companies who've been working on that and thinking about how to do that. And in fact, they're using an architecture very similar to what's used with FireWater, which is one of the reasons why it's important to me to include FireWater in the water project. I think in many ways that implementation is going to serve as the model for future development more than what we've done with IE. And so that's why it's important that be a core part of water.
I don't know if I understand you right. Projects to implement water with Opera and WebKit will not be public?
I don't know what they will be. I just know that people have prototyped the ports, and they talked to me about them. They haven't released them publicly, and I don't know if they will someday or if someone else will, but it's been done. That's what I know.
WebKit is the technology that Safari and Chrome are using, right?
I think it's used in Safari. It is used in Chrome. It's also used in the Nokia. The phones use WebKit.
So we'll be testing web apps and mobile phones in a short time.
I don't know about short time. I mean, there's no time frame for this stuff, but this is certainly possible. The technology, I mean, this has been done. The technology, it's doable. It's just a matter of when and how it will be done.
Really interesting. I look forward to see how it resolves. Will you continue to use that add-on for Firefox JSSH?
That's a really good question. So just to give you a little more background on that, right now FireWater uses a plugin called JSSH, which is, it comes from Mozilla, but it kind of doesn't really have an owner over there. We just had a talk recently with the folks at Mozilla and about that, and they're really encouraging us to move to a different technology. One of the problems with JSSH is it needs to be compiled for every platform. So there's different versions of the plugin for Firefox 2 and Firefox 3. There's different versions for Linux and for Mac and for Windows 32 and Windows 64. And I don't think we have them compiled in all of those. In fact, I'm pretty sure we don't. So that becomes a barrier to getting things out there and is kind of a maintenance issue. So my guess is that we'll be moving away from JSSH and moving towards this other technology based on the Mozilla. There's something called the Moz Runner and the Moz REPL, and they have a bunch of toolkits in the Mozilla group that we are going to be looking at and using, probably moving to one of those.
This plugin was really a mess, compiling and what you need, and the best would be to forget it.
Yeah, so I think we have an agreement that we should move to something else, but that work isn't scheduled yet, so no, I have no idea how much time it'll take or who's going to do it. So if someone wants to jump in and let us know, that'd be great. But right now we're just focusing on using what we have with the JSSH and trying to improve the compatibility and setting a clear roadmap for how the API, how that, like I said, with the tests and things like that. Once we have that Unifort test suite, of course, then we can have multiple implementations of water, and that's probably what we'll have as well. So we'll have the FireWater code base, and we'll have some new Firefox driver that comes with the water API and that works with this new technology, and then that's going to have to move along as a separate project.
Where do you need help with FireWater integration?
We do have people helping us with it right now. A number of folks. We've got Sai Venkata something and Romana or something like that, and as well as Alan Baird and I'm going to forget more people. Charlie's been helping out, and he's just actually gotten some additional time approved to help us out with that, and Charlie Baker, and a lot of other people. I'm sure I'm forgetting A.D. Lewis. And a lot of people have just been sending out patches to the list of fixes and things like that. So we've got a lot of people that are helping out in a lot of different ways. I think the hard part is that what most people are doing are just kind of giving us snippets of code, and it's difficult for us to just take code unless we have tests behind it. And that's one of the reasons why we need to have the unit test, because we have a lot of tests in water that we can reuse for to test many of these things as soon as we get the test suite ported over. So that's why that's my focus right now. So we also have people who are reporting issues, and we appreciate that. Either reporting them to the mailing list or putting them in Jira, just letting us know what are the things you know, on the one hand, we'll, as we get the water test suite running, we'll know what works and what doesn't work and what's the same. But and many times it's better for us to get reports from people because, like I said, you know, I know that the 2S functionality is different in the 2. I've never heard anyone complain about that. And my guess is I could probably take 3 years to fix that and probably not get complaints. So so we need to have a sense of that. What are the issues? What are the pieces that people care about the most so that we can prioritize?
We have a few questions from Water General Google Group. Tiffany Fodor is asking, what changes will we need to make to our existing code to run tests in Firefox as well?
So what's the main change is that instead of saying IE.new, you're going to say browser.new. And then there'll be a way of, and then at runtime, you'll either set an environment variable or you'll set a config file that you can create, and you will tell it what browser to use. You'll say, I want the browser to be IE or Firefox or maybe even one of these other tools like Celerity. And at that point, then it will automatically give you that driver at runtime. So that's the change that you're going to have to make. We'll get that out with that's why we'll have a new release of Water, and that's why we're bumping up to Water 1.6. That will be the main new functionality in Water 1.6 is the generic browser support, so that you can have this abstract Water browser driver that can turn itself into whatever it needs to based on those configuration settings.
Will you try to preserve backward compatibility with the tests that are already running so if people are...
Absolutely. The IE class will still be there and people can use 1.6, you know, without doing this, and then their tests will continue to run. Of course, they only run with IE. They won't run with Firewater. So if you want to get them to work with Firefox, you're going to have to change your references to the IE class to the new browser class.
But the tests will run. You wouldn't have to change your tests. All functionality of Water will be implemented for Firewater, right? Or the most of it?
It's some of it. Frankly, this is a question not for me, but to the community, and it depends on how much help we get on this. We have a list of things that we definitely are going to get fixed in that time frame. There's another list of things that people said they're going to help with, and we're hoping to see that show up. And if it shows up, then we get it. And if it doesn't show up, it doesn't get it. You know, with a project with so many volunteers like this, I can't make promises as to how much of that will be done. I can tell you that there will be things that will not be there that people will want with the next release. It will not be the last word on improving the compatibility between Water and Firewater.
Do you have an example?
An example of something that won't be there?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say, really, for me. I'll tell you the 2S functionality, but that's not really even relevant. I can't tell you anything that I know can't be done in this time frame. I just know that there's things that are not on my list, and it's a matter of what other people take charge of. We just got the I've got someone working on multiple attribute support on Firewater right now. I do plan to make Firewater work with all the element types that Water has right now. There's a number of ones like LI and things that were added fairly late in Water, and they're not in Firewater right now, so I do plan to have those in place. You know, one question in my mind right now that I'm unsure about is the attach functionality. Attach is done very differently with Firewater than with Water. And I haven't heard anyone sign up for that yet, and I've looked at it a little bit, and I think it's going to be complicated. So that may be a big thing that does not make it for the next release. My goal right now with this next release is basically to get a release out as quickly as possible that provides the minimum functionality so that we can actually include the two together. And that's really my goal. My goal is not to wait until we're done. I'm trying to get the minimum feature set out, and at some level, all I really need in order to justify what we're doing is this new browser class and to improve the right now there's several manual steps for installing Firewater, and if I am automatically installing Firewater when I install Water, I don't want to have to do that because essentially I'm not doing that. So for me to automatically include a water install, I would need to automate all of that. So those are the key pieces that I'm looking at. Everything else in some ways is optional. I want to have that test suite in place, and I want to have a list of here's what the issues are with this release goes out so that we know where we stand. Right now, we don't know where we stand. So that's the minimum requirements for the release, and how far we work through that list and how many things we get in there, that's a question for the whole community.
So it's release early, release often philosophy.
Absolutely. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say here, is I'm not going to, you know, it's the point of it is it becomes a place where we have a map, we know where we stand, and we can get people to the point where they can convert their tests so that they work with either browser. They know that they don't have to make any changes going forward, and then as we get more fixes, I mean, people can always fix these things themselves as well as us too. So, and it gives a structure for how to accept those changes going forward.
So to answer Tiffany's questions, you can run your IE tests with Firewater, and if you're lucky, everything will pass, and if not, you'll have to let us know and we'll see what can be fixed.
I tell you what's not going to be this fixed, because somebody was asking about this in the list right now, and that's the pop-up support. Right now, pop-ups are done differently in Firewater than in Water, and since I have no plans to work on either of them. And so until someone takes ownership of it, that's just going to continue to be the way it is.
So if you want to become a famous open source developer, here's your chance.
Yeah.
AD Lewis, also at Water General Google Group, said, and it's a long question, Water contains methods that specifically use the Win32 tool Autoit, most notably the dialog and the window helper libraries. If FireWater and Water are to be merged, does there need to be an alternative solution that can be used in both Windows and non-Windows platforms? So we've been talking about this right now.
This is, yeah, that's a pop-up question is what that is. Both the window helper and the what was the other thing he said? The wind clicker and the, those are all different tools and techniques for dealing with pop-ups. And he's right. Much of that code uses Autoit, and Autoit is a Windows tool. And that stuff could be made to work with Firewater. Firewater has other techniques that are also being used. So I don't have a plan on that right now. So the question is, what do I think should be done, or what's going to happen? I don't know. That's something that I'm looking for help with. Like I said, I just avoid the dialogues in my work, and that's in most of my projects. That's what we've been able to do. So
we should have a badge on Water side that said "bad pop-up." Alan Baird is asking at Water IC General. That's another live question that we got since we started recording. He said, I should ask you, how are things going with Watercraft?
Well, Watercraft is going well. The strategy for Watercraft has been to, number one, invest in the water platform and to take care of the biggest issues that have been blocking water adoption in the community at large. And those are essentially two of them. One was the Firefox support, which we're working on right now, and the other one is the lack of a standard framework. So those are the things that are on our roadmap. We're looking for customers right now who are interested in this work and in using a framework and in getting help with the Firefox compatibility. I said this before, and that's what we're doing. We are talking to people. We're talking to customers who are interested in this. We're hoping to get somebody who will sign us up to focus our efforts on their problems and on the issues that they have with their testing.
The things are going well with Watercraft.
I think so, yes.
Any closing thoughts? Something you'd like to say to the listeners of the podcast?
We're plugging ahead with the... I guess I will say one thing, and you know, we get a lot of contributions of code to fix things, and I want to remind people that we're less and less likely to take contributions without tests these days. So tests are more valuable than code. QA people should understand that, but sometimes don't. And so you need to remember that. And the other thing is, when we do get code contributions, the best form of a contribution is a patch. And what that means is that people need to not be modifying code in their gem directory, but rather they should be checking out the source and modifying it there and building their own gems and then sending us a patch file which tells us not only what they did, but what they started with. And with that information, it's very easy for us to take in the code. Otherwise, it's very difficult because we get code and we have no idea where they started, so we don't know where to include it. And if we just take their code and just drop it in, of course, that would back out changes that other people made. So we can't do that. So those are kind of the reminders to the contributors. I know there's a lot of people that are interested in helping and are excited by the work that we're doing with this. And those are my tips for that. You know, I guess the other thing is if you are, especially if you're contributing to Water, if you have questions about these things I'm talking about right now, please join us on the Water IRC channel. That's on freenode.net. It's #Water. I'm on there every day. Jalco's on there every day. And we're getting more and more people on there to join us. And it's a great place. You can often get your questions answered very quickly. And a lot of times I find it's just much easier for me to help people there than on the mailing list. So especially if you're a contributor and trying to figure out how to share code with us, please join us there on that channel and talk to us.
Where can people find you except IRC channel? Do you have a website, Twitter account?
Well, we have watercraft.com. which is the website if you're interested in contacting us about any commercial help that you'd like. You can contact me and my partner Pete Dignan through that. I have a Twitter account which I post to almost daily these days, which has all kinds of trivial information about whatever I'm doing at the moment. And if you have a weird fascination and that kind of thing, then you can you can find me there. My Twitter name is B Petticord. I'm also I read the Water Generalist every day, and I'm on the Water IRC channel almost every day as well.
And your famous blog with a funky URL?
Yes, I also have a blog which is popular and well, which I put at an odd place many years ago, and I have not moved it because everyone knows where it is right now. There's a lot of links to it. It's called the Software Testing Hot List, and if you Google for Testing Hot List, I think you'll find it. And that is my blog, which I still am posting to about monthly or so.
Thank you a lot, Brett, for talking with me today. Also, I would like to thank you now in live for your support with Water Podcast. Watercraft is paying for the hosting for the show, so thank you a lot.
Well, thank you, Jalco. You, as any of the readers of Water General have known, that you've been a very active supporter of the community. You've helped hundreds of people with water and getting their scripts to run and getting them going. Maybe 1,000 people by now. I don't know how many people you've helped, but it's been quite a few, and I know all of them really appreciate the work that you've done, as do I. So thank you.
I'm glad I can help. Thanks for listening to the Water Podcast. If you have something to say, leave a comment at waterpodcast.com. My site is jelkofilipin.com. Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Creation License, and all links we're mentioning in the show are in episode show notes. Thanks, Brett, once again, and hope to talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks to James Rogers Blues Band for the music. Visit them at jrband.ca.
I used to love to fight. That's all behind.